You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the title of this message is Factoids of the Miscreants. I'll let that sink in a little bit. Sounds like a B-movie or a horror movie, does it not? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is a horror movie. But it isn't even Class B. It comes from a lower class than that. All the way from hell. Factoids of the Miscreants. Who are the miscreants? Why, who else would it be but the Jews? And today we shall look into some of the facts about these miscreant Jews. I love the word miscreant. It has a special ring to it, you know? First of all, I'd like to announce our new Saturday schedule here on the Eurofolk Radio Network. We not only feature shows on Saturday, we have shows during the week as well, but our calendar is getting fuller by the moment. And on Saturdays, there's a full calendar for those in all countries. So, at 10 o'clock, 8 to 10, U.S. Eastern Time, we have the Restoration Hour with Pastor Eli James. And he's been doing an excellent job on that show, talking about the Jews and revealing many things about the Jews that I think you'd like to know about. Then, from 10 to 11, U.S. Eastern Time, we have an encore of my EFR Midweek News. Oh, yes, if you listened last week, you heard about the anti-Semitic bus. Yes, this bus saw there was a Jew lady crossing the street, and it couldn't help itself. It had to attack her. It threw her to the ground, and I begged for Charles Schumer to bring in new legislation against anti-Semitic buses. We must stop this now. We can't have anti-Jew buses hitting Jews all over New York. Oh, so I asked him to possibly take away. This is a hate crime, a bus hate crime, so we need to take this bus to court on a hate crime charge, and we need to just take the buses away from the people. This is the same thing as guns. I mean, they've just become too dangerous to people. You hear about it all the time, don't you? The anti-Semitic bus. Ho, 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 ho. Anyway, next, a new special show with a special identity teacher. And that's on from 11 to 12:30, and it's called Classic Comparé, featuring the teachings of Bertrand L. Comparé. Yes, I've cleaned up these teachings to the best of my ability, and some of them will be excellent, and some of them just can only be cleaned to the place that they can be cleaned, and they'll be fair. They won't be, not all these recordings will be superior or anything. I mean, they'll never measure up to today's standards, folks. We've come a long way. You have to realize we really have come a long way. I don't know how these people, these old teachers, got so much noise in their recordings. I mean, you know, why didn't they just bang on pots and pans when they were talking? You know what I mean? It's just amazing. But anyway, continuing, at 12:30 to 13:30, we have Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's new show, Absent Friends. Yes, I think you'll like this show. It's going out to the heroes the true heroes, not the ones the Jews tell you about all the time, which aren't heroes at all, but the real heroes of the Anglo-Saxon race. Yes, I said race. Are you shocked? Did that shock you? Did you twitch when I said the word race? Oh, okay. And then after that, at 1330 to 1500 hours, we want you thinking military here, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to, you'll have to figure out what those are by yourself. So from 1330, we are soldiers of Yahweh, and we've got to think like soldiers of Yahweh. Yes, we must know what military time is. Yes, time is 24 hours a day. Time to stop being a baby. Time to get off the fence. Time to join the army of Yahweh, the host of Yahweh. Yes, it is time. And one of the soldiers of Yahweh is named Pastor Dan Johns. And I'm going to tell you, his show is on fire. He is riding a wave right now. You've got to catch all his recent shows. He is just on fire. That's all I can say. He's not only on fire, but he's riding a wave. You know, this is quite the thing. So I suggest you, he has two shows. So this is the encore by Yahweh's design, the midweek edition. And so it's on from 1330 to 1500 U.S. Eastern Time. And then finally, to cap it all off, from 1500 hours to 1700 hours, Pastor Eli James has a new show called One to One. No, he's not trying to confuse you mathematically. It's called One to One, and it's an interview show, and Pastor Eli James will have a guest every week, if possible, and we'll interview that guest, and hopefully we will get great interaction. So it's his new show. It's a good show. I suggest you check it out and tell your friends. Ladies and gentlemen, try to help out Eurofolk Radio by liking our videos on the Eurofolk Radio YouTube channel. Like our videos. Comment on our videos. Share our videos if you can. And if you can't do that, possibly you may give a donation, which you will see on the eurofolkradio.com page. I'm not a big fan of crying for monies, so I'll leave it in your conscience. So, now that we have that through, I'm going to, before I go into the factoids of the miscreants, I felt this important because on my news show, I don't think I got this explained the way I wanted to explain it, not nearly clear enough. I'm going to give you some Jewish disinformation that has been going on for a long, long time, and I want you to understand this fully. So please, don't be confused. Let's pay attention here for a few minutes, because this is very important for you to know, or else I wouldn't waste my time saying it, right? The Jews have this wonderful thing. They don't mind now that you say that 95% of today's Jews are Khazarian Jews, which aren't real Jews. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to make you understand why they don't mind about that. See, if 95% aren't real Jews, what about the other 5%? Who do the Jews say they are? You'd be surprised. Well, you've heard of the scenario, good cop, bad cop, right? Well, the 95%, according to the 5% Jews, which is now a Hegelian dialectic in operation, are now saying those fakers, those fake Jews, the 95%, they're not like us real Jews. They're the evil Jews that are doing all the, they're the bankers. They're the ones that are doing all the evil all around the world. Oh, yes. But us 5%, we're the real Jews. We're the good guys. We don't believe in what's going on over there in that little trash heap over there in the Middle East. we just love Christians and we love Jesus. Oh, yes, we do. And we're trying to get together with the Christians and have peace. We love Christians and we love Negroes, too. Yeah, and we love Muslims. We want to help their women get their rights. Oh, yes, we do. We're good Jews. Hey, see our sign? Look at it. We're the good Jews. Yes, you believe that, right? You suckers. You believe that, don't you? Well, did I get a little excited for you there? Well, let me explain to you. The 95% of Khazarian Jews are Jews regardless of what the 5% Jews say, or regardless of what Mr. Tex Mars says. The Khazarian Jews have mixed with Hittites and Edom, Esau's bloodlines. How do we know these Khazarian Jews are true Jews? Well, they never had anything to do with Israel except be the enemy of Israel, because Esau, Edom, and the Hittites were always the enemies of Israel. So that's what they have to do with us. Now, some of them lived in Judah, and some of them got control of the governments of Judah. They were known as the Pharisees. Do you see? And the Sadducees, these were the sad ones that didn't believe in the resurrection. Oh, yes. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, the evidence is, I told you that when you see the German film, The Eternal Jew, these Khazarian Jews were driven out of their lands towards Europe, and they had migration paths. And the Germans did a study on them. There was not a farmer among them. This is clue number one, ladies and gentlemen. Clue number one, pay attention. Don't get lost with me now. Stay right with me. The curse of Cain is upon these people. No farmers. They're all merchants. Who did Jesus beat in the temple? Yes, 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 yes. Okay, so these people are Jews, regardless, okay? So this nonsense where the 5% of the Jews are the real Jews that are actually the tribe of Judah is a complete lie. This is what I wanted to make sure that you understand. There are no Jews that are Israelites, and the only Israelites that are Jews are Shabbos Goy race traders. I mean, they're not technically Jews, but they're actually worse than Jews. They actually act like Jews, and they are Jews in that sense. Okay, so the 5% Jews are not good Jews. They're not Israelites. They may have had something to do with Judah, but as far as I'm concerned, so did the Khazarian people. Now, they're all race-mixed people, you have to understand. The Jews are a mongrel people, okay? So maybe the 5% of the Jews that you're talking about don't have Mongolian blood in them. Now, the Ashkenazi Jews, Nazi Jews, these are the ones that the 5%ers claim are... they are Turco-Mongolian, and they say they're Finnish too, but I don't believe that. And they're trying to say that these people have nothing to do and have not had nothing to do with Israel. But they have had something to do with us in the fact that they were always our enemies. Okay, so they were merchants. What does that tell you? They couldn't farm. What does that tell you? See, I came up with a saying. I coined another phrase or another saying. And the saying is, even a dead Jew is not a good Jew. Okay, people used to say, the only so-and-so is a dead so-and-so. Well, even a dead Jew is not a good Jew. Now, let me give you a little bit of an illustration. Okay? Let's say that 5% of the fire is yellow and 95% of the fire is red. And I say to you, well, don't worry, son. You can put your hand in the fire as long as you only touch the yellow part. That's the good part of the fire. That's the cool part. It won't burn you. But don't touch that 95% red fire, part of the red fire. That will surely burn you. Ladies and gentlemen, do you think that the boy's hand might get burnt by the yellow part of the fire? Yes, I think that's a good illustration, don't you? Or if I said to you, well, 95% of the scorpions are evil, but only 5% are good. It doesn't matter. It'll sting you to death. I don't care if it's 5% or 95%. You know, people, you got to smarten up. Seriously, you got to smarten up here. You don't understand the games of the Jews. They love to play this game. I will prove this disinfo to you in the near future, okay? But I think I've explained it pretty clearly so that anybody that hears this would understand what I was saying. I said to people many times, can you show me a good Jew? And only one person ever answered, and they said, yeah, the ones that don't believe what's going on in Palestine. They don't understand. They don't understand, these people. It's amazing to me that the Jew, they just pull this stuff off over and over. It's the Hegelian dialectic. Don't you understand that there's the Zionist Jews, and then there's the Jews, and there's the Orthodox Jews? Oh, yes. It's a game. Just like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It didn't matter if they were Sadducees or Pharisees. They both attacked Jesus. They both wanted to see a sign, Yahweh in the flesh. They didn't believe. They had no faith. They're evil, and they are of the seed line of Cain. So it didn't matter if you were a Sadducee or a Pharisee. Do you see? All right. Well, now I'm glad that you understand that. Because that is the way it is, and that's how the game is played. And this game is nothing new. It's the same old game. Okay, so let's get to the factoids of the miscreants. So, fact number one, and I know some of you know these facts. I haven't read this whole thing, but I figured we'd read it together and enjoy it. Have a few laughs, okay? Now, you know that they've been kicked out of Europe 109 times, okay? And they're going to be kicked out again. You see, they have a saying I told you about that says, never again. Never again will we be kicked out of a country. But they are being kicked out of countries and have been kicked out and are going to be kicked out of all of the countries of Europe in the very near future. You see, they've been kicked out of Sweden now because the Muslims over there drove them out. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a Jew in the country, but it's getting that close. France, there's stabbings of Jews. A lot of Jews are leaving France. In one of my news stories, it said that some of them go to London, but some of them go to that little litter box over there in the Middle East. You know, the country that they have been trying to acquire for 67 years, but still haven't acquired it. Okay, so England, 1290 AD, by Edward I, re-entered in 1655. So they were kicked out by Edward I. France, 1306, by Philip the Fair, until after 1682. Hungary, 1360 until 1582. Belgium, 1370 to 1700. Slovakia, 1380 until after 1744. Austria, 1420 by Albrecht V. The Netherlands, 1444. And that just says that's it, you know. Spain, 1492. Now, let me talk about Spain's 1492. That's when they forced the Jews to become Catholics, which is not hard to do today because it's Mother Babylon today. But 1492 is when Columbus just happened to be coming to America with three ships. And it just so concurs with Spain's ejection of the Jews in 1492. Do you dig what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? Now, many of them became what's known as Marrano Jews. They pretended to convert. By the way, Marrano means pig. Because they are pigs and they are miscreants. Lithuania, 1495 by Grand Duke Alexander. Portugal, 1498. Prussia, 1510. Italy, 1540. Bavaria, 1551. Only a few Jews today remain in Sweden, Denmark, and Norway. That's what it says here. But I'm talking about, this is probably written before what's going on. Sweden, they were driven out by the Muslims. Driven out of their neighborhoods. They left the country, as far as I understand. Fact two. You might be interested in some of these facts. I'm telling you, I did read the first two facts, but I didn't read anything else. Fact two, attacks on Christianity. Listen how they were trying to work on America this long ago. I mean, the country is barely 100 and something years old, and they were already working on it. 1899 to 1900, Jews attempted to have the word Christian removed from the Bill of Rights of the state of Virginia. 1909 to 1910, on demands of the Jews, the school board of Bridgeport, Pennsylvania, voted to discontinue the recitation of Yahweh's Prayer in the school. This is 1909. I'm in shock here. 1909 to 1910. Fact number three. That achievement, the Russian Jewish Revolution, designed to figure in history as the overshadowing result of World War, was largely the outcome of Jewish thinking, of Jewish discontent, of Jewish effort to reconstruct. See, we know that the Bolsheviks were Jews, and people do know that, but there's something that I want Mr. Putin to know. And I'm sure he must know that they stole the Tsar's money. The Tsar was the richest man in the world at that time when they went after him. Now, all his money was in Rothschild banks around the world. That money has been stolen, and interest has accrued on that money since that time. Mr. Putin and Russia should put a world tribunal court together consisting of no Jews and begin the lawsuit to recover Russia's money that is owed to them. And if you think that's far-fetched, it has to be a tribunal court where no Jew sits on the seat. It can't be in today's justice system, which is tainted, which is flawed, which is corrupt and bogus. Fact number four. There is much in the fact of Bolshevism itself, in the fact that so many Jews are Bolshevists, in the fact, well, geez, that's a lot of facts, that the ideals of Bolshevism at many points are consonant with the finest ideals of Judaism, London Jewish Chronicle, 4419. Fact number five, Karl Marx's real name was Moses Mordecai Levy, the son of a Jewish rabbi. That's a real surprise. Fact number six, Lenin was a Jew. Fact number seven, I told you about Lenin. I wanted to just mention something about Lenin here. I guess he was retired and reading books in libraries, and they brought him out of retirement to go over there and torture and kill all those people. But there's one of the cases that I saw where Yahweh's judgment came upon a man. And I'll tell you, Lenin, he ended up having such crazy migraines, and he was going crazy because of it. He ended up in a wheelchair, and his skin began to turn black. And he died a horrific death, which is good for Jews. I like that. But Lenin was, you could tell he was a Jew. How do I know that? Because he thought of the Russian people as animals. I'm sorry if I'm repeating this to some of you, but I must say these things for the new people that might not know. Lenin went to Dr. Pavlov, who you've heard of Pavlov's dog. And Dr. Pavlov was great at training animals. And Lenin said to Dr. Pavlov that he wanted to do the same thing to the Russian people because they were no better than animals. And to say the least, Dr. Pavlov was shocked. Fact number seven, of the top 556 functionaries in the first communist Russian government, over 400 were Jews. Fact number eight, of the first 119 members of the Communist Russia Council ruling Russia, 81 were Jews. Fact number nine, criticism of the Jews in Russia is a capital offense. Now, you know, there is something very interesting that I forget, I was listening to something and somebody was pointing this out, and it's true. It seems that Jews are the only one that get laws written about themselves, you know, protecting themselves. You know, it's very interesting, you know, like whether it be the Holocaust, the H-O-L-L-O-W cost, because it's got so many holes in its story. They write laws. You don't see them writing laws about Irish people or, you know, etc. I mean, you might see hate crime laws, but that also includes the Jew, always includes the Jew. I just think that's a very interesting thing, that this people worldwide always has laws. Now, anti-Semitism, which is anti-Jew, has not, because they're not Semitic. I'm going to keep hammering and hammering on that. Shemitic people were from the line of Shem. They're white people. The Jews are not white people, and they are not Shemitic. They are a race-mixed mongrel people. So there's no, if you're anti-Semitic or Shemitic, that means you're anti-white. But they call this anti-Jew anti-Semitism because that's the ploy that they're doing. That's the game that they're playing, pretending that they're white, pretending that they're Yahweh's chosen people. So they even wrote that anyone that spoke against Jews in Russia would be killed. So that's what I mean about laws. Oh, here it is right here. Excuse me. Fact number 9, criticism of the Jews in Soviet Russia is a capital offense. Was. That's gone now, as you can see. Fact number 10, that mighty revolution, which is at this moment preparing in Germany and will be, in fact, a second and greater revolution, and of which so little is yet known in England, is entirely developing under the auspices of Jews. And in every generation, they must become more powerful and more dangerous to the society which is hostile to them. Benjamin Disraeli, Jew, 1844. You people in the UK know who Benjamin Disraeli is, don't you? Fact number 11. In 1936, 98% of the leading positions in Russia were occupied by Jews. That's 98% by 1936. Fact number 12. The Second World War is being fought for the defense of the fundamentals of Judaism. That right in from the Chicago Jewish Sentinel, 10-8-42. That's 1942, ladies and gentlemen. Fact number 13. The Jew, Julius Hammer, father of Armand Hammer, was a co-founder of the Communist Party, USA. I'm not surprised. Fact 14. According to J. Edgar Hoover, the cross-dresser, Freemason cross-dresser, that is, those are my words. According to J. Edgar Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover on Communism, Paperback Library, 1907, page 5, Jew Herbert Eugene Aptheker is the brains of the Communist Party, USA, behind Gus Hall and edits party literature as political affairs. Now, we probably don't know many of these names. I don't remember hearing Herbert Eugene Aptheker. And I don't remember the name Gus Hall either, but I bet Eustace Mullins knew who those people were. I'll bet you Joseph McCarthy knew who those people were. Fact number 15, the Jew Gus Halberg, or Gus Hall, heads the present U.S. Communist Party, and the Jew Eugene Aptheker edits the party's literature. We'll have to see when this book was written. Fact number 16, Senator Joseph McCarthy's Red Scare of communism was actually against Jewry. Almost 100% of the names turned up by Senator McCarthy's Committee on Subversive Activities happened to be Jewish. Are you surprised? That was from the B'nai B'rith Messenger, 3/26/1954. So the subversives in America, just 100% of the names that Mr. McCarthy had found, his committee had found, of subversive activities in America just happened to be Jewish. I mean, you know, just one of those things. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, everything in our world today is just happening by itself. There's no force guiding this the way it is. I mean, it's just pure happenstance. You do believe that, ladies and gentlemen, don't you? I mean, it just so happens that bank runs happen. It just so happens that the banks fail. It just so happens that we have a Falasha Jew as president. It just so happens that Miss Merkel in Germany is a Jew. It just so happens that Nicolas Sarkozy, who was France's president, was a Jew and told the people that they had to race mix. And now all of a sudden they found cocaine on his plane. It just happened that way. You see? I mean, there is no conspiracy. Right? Didn't George Bush say, let us not tolerate any of these conspiracy theories? Because men have never conspired against man nor God. You know that as well as I do. And you believe that wholeheartedly, don't you? I mean, who do these people? These people must be, you know. I mean, I know that people are fooled, but how fooled can people be? To what degree does the bar stop? Fact 17. Nearly all convicted communists in the United States have been Jews. Oh, yes. Yeah. Philip Jaffe, Andrew Roth, Mark Gain, Judith Copeland, Gerhard Eisler, Klaus Fuchs, Harry Gold, Abraham Brothman, David Greenglass, Robert Oppenheimer, Israel Weinbaum, Miriam Moskowitz, the Rosenbergs, Sobel, and the Hollywood 10, etc. Now, I have a little something, a little trinket to share with you. And it's just my belief. But in the Bible, I believe it's in the book of Revelation, Yahweh says that he will give us a stone with a new name on it. Why? Why do we need a new name? In my opinion, my humble opinion, it's because the Jews have tainted all of our names. These are our names. These aren't Jew names, you see. Andrew, Mark, Philip, you know, Abraham, Israel. These names are tainted. And therefore, Yahweh will give us new names, because when we go into the kingdom, I would hardly like to think of the name Abraham as far as, like, Jews go. So perhaps Abraham will have a new name as well, because these names are tainted. These filthy Jews worldwide have also given our names to Negroes and tainted those names even further than they were already tainted. Oh, do you think I'm a racist? Oh, you poor. Did I hurt your feelings? Who cares? Fact number 18. Franklin D. Roosevelt, or Rosenvelt, it says right here, was Jewish and had 34 Jews in top positions in his administration. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's why I believe that was the second judgment of Yahweh. I don't know how long Franklin D. Roosevelt was in that wheelchair of his, but he was suffering for quite a while there, too, for what he had done wrong. We know that, you know, it's funny how I go through these facts, and I have to share something about something. I'm sorry, we're not just going to go through the facts, and I'm going to have to tell you my thoughts, my instantaneous thoughts on these things. And I think that that's the best way to do it. Franklin D. Roosevelt was in a wheelchair and he was suffering. His wife was a lesbian, an ugly woman, and her dream was the day when all the sidewalks of America would be filled with brown people. So you can see that Franklin D. Roosevelt, who was a filthy, rotten murderer, liar, etc., that he was suffering. Somehow Yahweh made him suffer in the same way Lenin suffered. But let's look at the other two idiots. Let's look at Churchill. Did he suffer? Oh, yes, he did. He was so upset about things that all he wanted to do was drink bottles of alcohol. This is a sign that a man is disturbed. This is a sign of when a man is trying to mask away his problems. But what about our dear friend Uncle Joe? You know, these are the good guys we're talking about. Franklin D. Roosevelt, the Jew. Winston Churchill, who's a Jew, his mother. You know, we've already talked about this. And now we have Stalin, who was married to a Jewess, and they poisoned him because he turned on them. How could you not turn on the Jews? Yes, they will kill you and I, who they believe to be no better than animals. And they know we're the true Israelites, and they'd kill us in a heartbeat. But they'd kill their own just as well. They have no problem with that. If you and I weren't around to destroy with shekelism, I just coined another word there, shekelism. This is where they have to count their money every day, and where they have to make sure that they're ripping somebody off. Or when they go to a restaurant, they have to complain about something to make sure they get something for free so that they balance the bill off a little bit. Ooh, the problems of shekelism. Well, if we weren't around, they'd do it to one another, I can promise you that. Yes, they'd sacrifice their own. They only love themselves to a point. I mean, they only love their own brothers to a point. They hate all races of the world. They hate Yahweh. They hate the universe. They hate the true animals. They hate nature. They hate everything Yahweh created. They barely like one another. Fact number 19. Menachem Begin, president of Israel, on July 22nd, 1946, bombed the Rung David Hotel. 97 people were killed, over 100 maimed. In 1947, he tortured and murdered two young British soldiers and then booby-trapped their bodies to a tree. When soldiers tried to free them, the explosives detonated. On September 26, 1947, Begin robbed a bank and killed several British soldiers. You see, it's in their blood to do these things. See, Menachem Begin, he was the president of Israel, but he was a criminal like this. I mean, he was a real low-grade criminal. I mean, he's a terrorist. He's not only a terrorist, he's a murderer. And he maimed people for life, right? And he's a bank robber, too, on top of it. I mean, you know. And these people call us terrorists. They are responsible for probably 90% of the terrorist acts in the world, if not more, if not all 100%. I'm not sure. But I will tell you that they did the first, the JDL did the first terrorist acts on American soil. And those were Jews, ladies and gentlemen. Those weren't Arabs. You know, that's another reason they're bringing these Muslims to our country. Because we knew this war on terrorism is fake. And I had often said, you'll never, ever see a terrorist act. You'll never see, there's no terrorist around any corner. You'll never see it happen. But the thing is by bringing them into the country, now there could be a possibility of a terrorist act. You see what I'm saying? But it would be the Jew that would do it anyway and blame it on the Muslim. So it wouldn't really be the Muslim. But until the point where they brought these people into our countries, there were going to be no terrorist acts unless the Jew committed it. So I guess it's either way. Even when they're here, the Jew will commit it. So it just doesn't matter. I just wanted to point that out. Fact number 21. Minutes, protocols, were written down of a meeting held at the first Zionist Congress at Basel in 1897, under the presidency of the father of modern Zionism, Theodor Herzl. They were published in 1905 by Sergei Nilus in Russia. A copy is in the British Museum dating August 10th, 1906. They contain the plans for Jewish takeover. Henry Ford in the New York World 217-1921 said, "The only statement I care to make about the protocols," this is important, ladies and gentlemen, prick up your ears. Prick up your ears right now. You ever see a dog or a cat prick up their ears? Or a rabbit? It's because they heard something and now they're on alert. I want you to be alerted. Listen to what? This is 217-1921. This is Mr. Henry Ford. You know who he is. "The only statement I care to make about the protocols is that they fit in with what is going on. They are 16 years old, and they have fitted the world situation up to this time. They fit it now." And ladies and gentlemen, may I be so bold as to say, they also fit it now. Facts number 22 through 43, quotes from the protocols. "Our right lies in might. Do not suppose for a moment that these statements are empty words. Think carefully of the successes we arranged for Darwinism, Marxism, Nietzscheism. To us Jews, at any rate, it should be plain to see that what a disintegrating importance these directives have been upon the minds of the Goyim." Editor's note, Goyim is the Jewish word for non-Jews, means cattle, specifically refers to white Christians. I want to tell you something about Marxism that I had found out. Now, Marxism, I told you that Karl Marx and Engels wrote this book because they were commissioned to, because it was the opposite of capitalism, and they wanted to use the Hegelian dialectic. But I also told you that both capitalism and communism is Jewish. So therefore, the capitalists are Jews, and the communists are Jews. So these two fight one another, and this is what we have in our country today. You see, we have all the planks of the Communist Manifesto in operation in our country, yet we are a capitalist country. Do you dig what I'm telling you? That's what democracy is. Democracy is a code word for socialism, which then grows to communism. However, they don't want to call it communism because that's a tainted word. That's why they got rid of communism and brought in the war on terror. They brought Ronald Reagan, Red Ronnie, who I'm going to prove you that he is a communist. They brought Red Ronnie and put him in the presidency to take down and stop the Cold War, which would then subsequently be, they would enact the war on terrorism. Because everybody knew that communism was a Jewish thing, that communism was Judaism. So with this terrorist thing, who are they? We don't know who they are. Could be you. So to go back to what I was saying, Marxism was not working out for people too much. Communism wasn't working out. They needed to prove that God wasn't real so that you wouldn't mind being part of a Marxist state. So when Darwin began his theory and he began to send it around to people, they picked up on it right away and said, this is just what we need in order to propel communism. It was the perfect thing because communism is godless. The state is your god. The state is your parent. The state is your provider. The state is everything in your life. There is no God. And so Darwinism is just the very tool that Marxism needed in order to bring itself into fruition in such a bigger way. Because Marxism was a little doubtful to some. But those Shabbos Goy, they love to just believe anything the Jew tells them. So if the Jew says there's no God, we came from monkeys, well, then that's the way it is. There's no God. Yes, there's no God. Yes, Yahweh did not. You know, we all have different fingerprints. That was just by happenstance. Every snowflake is different than the other one. Oh, that's just happenstance. Oh, it's all just happenstance. Yeah. What is the chances that everybody would have different fingerprints? What are the chances, ladies and gentlemen? There's so many things that tell you that Yahweh is real. I don't have to prove that. I'm not going to even bother. But Darwinism, people are always willing to believe lies, but when you tell them the truth, they want to fight you tooth and nail about it. Well, I'm not going to fight you anymore. If you love your Jew and you love and believe that there is no God and you want to follow the devil and be a Luciferian piece of garbage, then you go right on with that. You see, because Yahweh, here's why you're in the condition you are. You would not have the truth. And I explained this to somebody the other day. See, there are a lot of you out there that will not have the truth. You will fight tooth and nail against the truth. You hate the ever-living God. You love your Jew. You love your lies. You love being burnt. And so since you love these things and you have no love in you for the truth and you have no love in you for Yahweh himself, then he has put a delusion on the world. Yes, Yahweh has put a delusion. Now, when he was in the flesh and he came down, he told us Israelites, he didn't tell the Jews to do this. He told us Israelites, he didn't tell the blacks to do this. He told us Israelites. He didn't tell the Chinese to do this. He told us Israelites. He didn't tell the Jew Mexicans this. He told us Israelites, seek the truth, and the truth will set you free. What does that mean? Does that mean that you go down to the pew of some church because maybe you have a little bit of a conscience biting back at you a little bit and you want to try to ease that up a little bit? Alcohol's not working. Drugs aren't working. Maybe you're looking to sell some insurance. You scumbag. So you go down and you sit in a pew and you let some man who you know nothing about, really. And if you knew this man for years, you'd still know really nothing about him. Unless you followed him around 24 hours a day. But you're going to let this man, or nowadays, a woman, or maybe a lesbian, or maybe a homosexual. Maybe you'd let a homosexual teach you the Bible. And you're going to sit in that pew and you're going to listen to that. And, you know, it's a pain in the neck, but I'll go. You know, when it's over, you just go back to your regular life and don't worry about it. Do you call that seeking the truth? Well, let me inform you about something. Seeking. There's your word. There's the word. We're seeking. What is seeking? Seeking means if I told you to go out and seek gold, would you sit back and watch somebody dig a hole in the ground and seek gold that way? No. You'd have to go out, get yourself some equipment, get yourself an animal, get yourself into some area where there might be gold, and you might have to work. You might have to dig. You might have to blast. You might have to spend some money on these tools. You might have to spend some money on some dynamite. You might have to sweat a few sweat drops, like a few million of them. Well, it's the same with the truth. Nobody's going to pay you to seek the truth. The truth is like gold. And you must seek it. You must be fervent in your seeking it. You would seek gold fervently, wouldn't you? Well, wisdom is more precious than gold and more precious than rubies. So you may have to read some books. You might have to buy some books. You may have to read the Bible. You may have to pray to Yahweh and ask him to teach you the truth. Yes, you may have to read that Bible instead of letting some person in the front of the church, whether it be a man, woman, or homosexual, or lesbian, read it for you. That's not seeking the truth. Seek the truth. Seek it yourself. Work hard, diligently. Uncover those stones. Find the trinkets of the truth. Collect the trinkets of the truth and put them in your mind and forget them not. Because wisdom could save your life. Whereas it says in the Bible, in the end days, they'll throw their gold and silver in the streets, right? So, let's go on a little bit. I think you should think about what I'm telling you, that seeking the truth is real work. Real, real work. But you know something? It's very rewarding. That's one thing I will tell you. That as you begin to put the pieces of the puzzle together and the picture becomes clearer and clearer and clearer to you, it will propel you on and give you more food to seek the truth. It'll give you more urge to seek the truth. So the more you learn, the more you work at something and get something, it's worth something. You understand? Think on that for a while. Don't let somebody guide you into the bowels of hell because you wanted to take the easy way out of everything. You know, electricity, the current takes the least, it'll go around things to take the least, you know, resistant area, you know, to get to its point. I talked about the current, swimming against the current. Until you begin to turn around, instead of floating along with every cloud that floats downstream, you know, in the air, the wind blows the clouds across the sky because there's no water in those clouds. You know, that's telling you something. Or you're laying and floating in a stream downstream and letting the river take you wherever it might. You will not know what resistance is. However, when you do turn around and begin to do the work to seek the truth and to swim upstream, you will feel the resistance. However, Yahweh provides for these things. Okay, next one. We appear on the scene as alleged saviors of the worker from this oppression And when we propose him to enter the ranks of our fighting forces, socialists, anarchists, communists, to whom we always give support in accordance with an alleged brotherly rule of our social masonry, the aristocracy, which enjoyed by law the labor of the workers, was interested in seeing that the workers were well-fed, healthy, and strong. We are interested in just the opposite, in the diminution, the killing out of the goyim. Think about that. That's the mind of the Jew right there. You understand that? That's the mind of the Jew. See, common sense would tell you to keep your workers well-fed, healthy, and strong, wouldn't it? But these Jews don't live by common sense. They're filthy, evil people. So they say right here that they're interested in the diminution, the killing out of the goyim, which is you, the worker. And what they're talking about, they're talking about how they're always part of these organizations. And they organize all kinds of organizations. You notice that about the Jew? Let me give you a little idea about the Jew, okay? Let me give you an idea about what the story really is. You say to yourself, well, I know a good Jew. He's always smiling. Never has done anything wrong to me. See, you don't understand the Jew. The Jew smiles to win. The Jew will be your friend to win. The Jew is a chameleon, okay? What is a chameleon able to do? A chameleon can blend into any place in the world because it can change its colors. It could make you think it's not even there when it is there. The Jews are chameleons. They're international. They've lived in practically every country of this world. Everywhere they could oppress, steal, rob, and kill. Okay? So they are expert chameleons. There's no doubt about that. So they're able to blend into the scene. So you don't even realize that they're Jews. You know, when you're watching these Hollywood movies and these old cowboy shows and everything else, you're not realizing you're looking at Jews. And this is what that movie shows you, The Eternal Jew, the German movie. It becomes downright scary that these Jews come over into our countries and they blend in socially. They blend in with the way they look, and you don't even realize many of them are Jews. Okay, so that becomes a problem for us and an advantage for them. Now, secondly, the Jew is an actor. Always remember that the Jew is an actor. So part of this friendliness towards you is part of an act. See, smile to win. Smile to win what? Smile to gain advantage. Blend in to gain advantage. Pretend to gain advantage. You better start thinking about these things and understand. I warn the sheep out in the field. I say there's danger, danger. And if Will Robinson was out in the field, I'd say, danger, Will Robinson, danger. But the sheep just keep on eating. They don't really care that I've warned them of the danger. All that's important is what's at hand. And as the wolves encroach upon the sheep, and the danger is ever increasing, I sound the alarm louder. Danger, Will Robinson! Danger! But still the sheep don't listen. You know when the sheep listen? When the wolves have jumped up and have got their teeth locked onto the flesh of the sheep. That's when they begin to listen. And you know, that's just like us. No wonder Yahweh in the flesh called us sheep. If the Jew told you that going over the cliff was going to be good for you, most of you would jump over the cliff, even if you heard the screams of the one before you. As long as the Jew told you to jump over the cliff and everything was going to be fine, the next one would jump, and the next one would jump, and the next one would jump, and the next one would jump. Sheep. Followers. What we need in the Anglo-Saxon race is something we've always had, but we don't have much of anymore. We need rams. And I mean, we need rams to straighten out the sheep. We need rams that understand Yahweh's word. We need you to be a ram. But we don't need all leaders, but we need more leaders. We need men to be men. Be not strayed away by the smile. The politician, the Jew, uses the smile all the time. While this Falasha Jew Obama destroys this country, and the Jews have used him to destroy this country as much as he possibly can, he's been smiling all along. Have you not noticed that? He's been lying all along. Have you not noticed that? It's just, I'm going to take a sip of coffee because it's just beyond me. You know, immediately when I see somebody driving in front of me with an Obama sticker on their car, immediately my opinion of that person is brought down to the lowest possible opinion that there could be about somebody. Because it shows me that they certainly aren't one of the sheep who are awake. That they are liberal-minded idiots that would jump over the cliff when the Jew told them to. So listen to this. This next protocol piece here, this hatred of the mobs which we will produce will still be further magnified by the effects of an economic crisis. Hello, hello. Did you hear that? You say, no, please read it again for me. Well, I will. This hatred of the mobs which we will produce will be still further magnified by the effects of an economic crisis. Are we in an economic crisis right now? Supposedly, yes. Worldwide, yes? Yes. The hatred of the mobs which we will produce? Hello. What do we have in our countries now? What's going on in Europe? This hatred of the mobs which we will produce will still be further magnified by the effects of an economic crisis.
Those protocols, that's a hoax, man. Yeah, I read that on Wikipedia. I believe everything Wikipedia says. Those Jews that write for Wikipedia, they're practically scribes, you know? And, if Obama runs again, I surely will vote for him. Yes, he's been very good for the country. I like his smile.
It is indispensable for us to undermine all faith, to tear out the mind of the goyim, the very principle of Godhead and spirit and the spirit, and to put in its place arithmetical calculations and material needs. Has that happened? Have they? What did I just tell you about Darwinism and communism? So they want to tear out of our minds the very principle of God and the spirit and put in its place arithmetical calculations and material needs. Do we have that in the place of Yahweh today? Go ahead, say no, I dare you. For a time, perhaps, we might be successfully dealt with by a coalition of the goyim of all the world. But from this danger, we are secured. We are too strong. There is no evading our power. The nations cannot come to even an inconsiderable private agreement without our secretly having a hand in it. Well, that seems to be for sure, doesn't it? About the Tea Party. Everything that somebody tries to get together, they get right in there. See, they don't. A lot of them don't have to work, so they have the time to do these things. But you and I, we're put on these useless jobs, most of the jobs useless, just to waste our time and resources, just to waste our energies. That's all these jobs are for, most of them. There's no real purpose of these jobs, you understand? Now, when you're serving the public and you might be delivering food or something, that might be one thing. But generally speaking, most of these jobs are just to waste your time so that you don't have any time to do anything about it. In order to put public opinion into our hands, we must bring it into the slate of bewilderment by giving expression from all sides to so many contradictory opinions and for such length of time as it will suffice us to make the goyim lose their heads in labyrinth and come to see that the best thing is to have no opinion of any kind in matters political, which it is not given to the public to understand because they are understood only by him who guides the public. Okay, that idea, okay, what he's saying there, it's very simple. You see, they send you on rabbit trails that go nowhere, and they have all these Jews making so many comments making about different things, so that after a while, you don't know what to believe. Now, how did they learn that? They learned that from Pavlov's dog. How do I know that? Because when he would ring a bell, the dog would do something certain. And then when he'd made another thing, the dog would do what was it was taught to do that way. But if too many commands were given to the dog, what would happen to the dog? It would not know which order to obey. So therefore, it would sit down and shut down and not obey any of the orders. Too many choices. Understand? So that's what they're saying here. As far as politics, we don't need politics. But you see, also they said this. The best thing is to have no opinion of any kind in matters political, which it is not given to the public to understand, because they are understood only by him who guides the public. What are we told, ladies and gentlemen? Do not discuss politics. Do not discuss religion. Right? Hello? Who gave us that little rule there? Was it Yahweh? No, I don't think so. But they have a saying in Japan, in case you've never heard this. Don't be a nail that stands out above the rest. You'll be likely to be the first one hit. Understand? In other words, keep yourself in line. The mind is used as a prison. And we police each other and we police ourselves. So have no opinion. The best thing for us to do is not to talk about politics because it causes arguments. Not to talk about religion because religion causes arguments and disagreements. So the best thing to do is to have no opinion of any kind. See, that made it so that's why there's so many. See, what they mean by the labyrinth is there's so many different kinds of churches. Now you don't know which one's right, so let's not discuss it because we all have our differences and there's so many contradictory opinions that we don't know which way to look anymore. You can't decipher the truth. There's too many commands. I got to sit down. I can't obey any of them. I don't want to know anything about any of the churches or any of the denominations because now, you see, there's just too many. It's a labyrinth. I can't understand it. So let's not talk about it, especially let's not bring up Jesus Christ. You better, if I'm in the lodge, don't bring up his name. If I'm in the street, don't bring up his name. If I'm in work, don't bring up his name. If we're at a family gathering, don't bring up these two things. You obey those Jews. You make sure you obey the Jew. Don't you even think about Jesus Christ. Like I told you last week, let's not focus on what separates us, but let's focus on what brings us together, says the Jew to the Christian. What separates us? What separates us? What separates the Jew and the Christian? Jesus Christ, Yahweh in the flesh. Do not talk about him. Do not bring him up because that separates us. That hurts my feelings, said the Jew. Well, I just don't care about the Jew's feelings. And I'll talk about Yahweh if I want to talk about Yahweh. And I'm not Pavlov's dog. I don't have to look through the labyrinth of churches to know what has been done to these people. The Jewish version of Christianity is being taught in our country. General Cornwallis, now I'm going back to a show a long time ago here, one of my first few shows. General Cornwallis wrote a letter to General George Washington telling him that they would be teaching the Jews' religion in America within 200 years and that they would be propelling us towards a one-world order, a one-world government. They didn't use the word order. They used the word government. He used the word government. Now, are we teaching the Jewish version of Christianity in America, dear people? Yes. Yes, we are. That's why it's called the Judeo-Christianity. Judeo-Christianity. See, these two words I told you do not go together. They are diametrically opposed. The Jew hates the Christian, but the Christian, not the real Christian, loves the Jew. He loves Yahweh's enemies. When Jesus Christ came down here, he had nothing good to say about these Jews. And in fact, he said so much about these Jews that they killed him. Just like they do to many people, and they may do to some of us. But only if Yahweh lets them, see? Yahweh had to die. He even had a Jew, an Edomite Jew, right in his discipleship. He deliberately, see, all those disciples came from the Nazareth area. They were Nazarenes. They were not Jews. But one of them he went somewhere else to get. Judas Iscariot, Judas of Iscariot. That's not his name, Iscariot. But notice something that I've told this to people many times, and I love to tell it because I just think it's so incredible, that even in Yahweh's 12 disciples, you have a Jew. And what was the Jew's function in this particular discipleship? What was his function as they traveled from city to city? Now, I know some of you have to be laughing right now, but yes, he was in charge of the pocketbook, the money. Hello? Why do you think he called him a devil? You know, Judas Iscariot is just like the Shabbos Goy race traders. You know, after he sold him out for 30 pieces of silver, I remember seeing a film where the Pharisee who gave him the 30 pieces of silver threw them on the floor, so Judas had to pick them up. Whether that's true or not, I wouldn't doubt it, because that is the way of the Jew. But this Jew was even looking at a more disgusting Jew than himself. However, Judas Iscariot took that money and bought a field, but he never got anything for that money. He hung himself in the field. That's all he got out of the field. Because it was better if he had not been not born. And let me tell you something, Shabbos Goy race traitor, Israelite race traitor. It would be better if you were not born, because you are going to pay the ultimate price. You know the shekels you've been getting from these Jews to do your dirty work against us, your brothers and sisters? You at least got to spend it on something for a while. Judas didn't. So you should consider yourself at least that fortunate. But the time is coming. And just as the Jew knows his time is short, and the devil, Shaitan, the serpent, knows his time is short. His name is Halel. You are now put on notice that your time is short. I want you to sweat bullets over that. I want you to realize what you've done to all of us and what you've done against the living God. I don't want you to enjoy what you've got. Because you've got nothing. You are naked. You know how it says? They think they are rich and have everything, but they are naked. You are naked. You are full of shame. You are a disgrace to your family, to your race, to your God. Even the Jew spits on you. Even the Jew looks at you like scum that you are, because you are lower than the Jew, twice the child of hell. You are garbage. And we all look, us true Israelites, look at you as garbage. We look down upon you. We may have a little feeling of sorrow for you because we are who we are. But we dislike you more than the Jew. You are the bottom of the barrel, below the Negroes even. Do you understand that? If you don't, you will now. Either you smarten up soon and turn it around, or you're gonzo. And you're still going to have to answer for what you've done. But you better think about giving yourself a chance and giving our race a chance. If you think you're going to rule with the Jew, you've got another thing coming, sonny boy, liberal woman who wants to be a man. You will not rule with the Jew, and even the Jew will not rule. I love it. 67 years and they still don't have that little plot of land over there. 67 years. And yes, I will remind them again, because they are going to mental institutions and it's up 100%. Keep on drinking the blood of our children. It's crying out to Yahweh. Just like Abel's blood was crying out to Yahweh from the ground when you lied to his face, Mr. Cain. Keep on drinking that blood. Because within you, it's crying out to Yahweh. If you think it's helping you to be more healthy and to live longer, it's not. Why do you think you keep dying of bone marrow cancer and things like that? You don't have the life force in your blood. You do not have the same blood as the Israelites have. You can never be us. You're a wannabe. You and your father, the devil, he's a wannabe God. You are wannabe Israelites. You can't be us, and he can't be Yahweh. You aren't even half good enough. You aren't even 1/1,000,000,000th of good enough to be Yahweh, devil. And you, Jew, you will never be an Israelite. You never have been, you never will be, you never can be. You just say goodbye now. Say goodbye because your time is short, like the Shabbos Goy and like Shaitan. Ladies and gentlemen, I enjoyed this speaking. And I love to see the Yahweh answer prayers, and he has answered prayers. And I've got to tell you, the Jews' fear is growing. You heard me pray on this radio show that their fear would grow and grow and grow, and you can see evidence of it worldwide. Praise be to Yahweh the Most High, for he is holy. He alone is God. There is no other God but Yahweh. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.